Let's begin. Perek Vav opens up. Yosef Oid, David, is called Bachor Beisrael Shleishim Alev. David is now adding on to his army 30,000 men. Ve'yakam Beilech David v'chol am asher ito. David gets up, all the men together with him, these 30,000 men. Mibal Yehuda, from a place called Baal Yehuda, L'halif Misham Asarana Elikim, Asher Nikra Shem Shem Hashem Tzvaka Siyesh Al-Kruvim Alev. The Aaron had the Kruvim, who, you know, the Kruvim was the sign to see if Hashem and Bnei Yisrael are having a good relationship. If they were facing each other, that was a sign that the Jewish people were having a good relationship with Hashem. If they were facing away, that meant that...
Trouble.
Trouble, yeah. Yeah, Bnei Yisrael have something to work on, that's for sure. okay. So what did they do exactly? How did they attempt to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim? Pasuk Gimel says, "Ve'arkivus Aron ha'elokim el agal chadasha." They brought the Aron to a brand new wagon that was never used before. Ve'yisa'u mibeis Avinadav asher v'kiva. They brought it from, they carried it from the house of Avinadav, which was on the hill. So let's see. A few mistakes over here. First of all, it says, Vayarkivus Aron Elokim. Now, what did the Torah say? The Torah said, how are you supposed to carry the Aron? What's the correct way to carry it?
It carries itself.
Right, supposed to hold on.
But the way of, before we get to who's supposed to carry it, the way of carrying it is carrying it with your shoulders, right?
Not the hands.
Right, exactly. What do? They picked it up with their hands. You're not supposed to pick it up from your hands. There's another way that you're supposed to carry it where they made a mistake. But that's number one. Number one is you're supposed to carry it with your shoulder, right? Not with your hands. Your hands are not supposed to be the ones carrying it.
But how can you get it up on your shoulder if you don't use the hands?
Oh, very good. We're going to get there. We'll see. They made another mistake with carrying it. So that was one mistake. Second mistake was the Uzav Achir Bnei Avinadav Noyagim Masagol Chadasha. The sons of Avinadav, Uzav and Achiyoy, what were they doing? They were the ones that were leading the way. They led this brand new wagon. What did the Plishtim do? When the Plishtim brought the Aron, right? The Plishtim, remember, they wanted to get rid of the Aron because the Aron was destroying their idols. Their idol is called Dagon. Every day, every morning they got up, they saw Dagon on the floor, face down. They realized that the Aron is destroying their idols. So what did they do? They tried to get rid of it. They tried to send it to the Jewish people. So what did they do? They put it on a wagon. And how did the wagon go?
By itself.
Exactly. They let the bulls, right, the oxen that were moving the carriage, they let them lead the way. Wherever they wanted to go, that's where it went. You didn't have any men telling the oxen where to go. Over here, Uzzah and Achiyoy were the ones to lead the wagon. That was another mistake. Mistake number two. So let's go on, and we're going to see more mistakes that they made. Ve'yisa'u mibeis Avinadav asher b'giva imar ne'olakim. They carried it from the house of Avinadav with the Aron. Ve'achiyoy hoylech lifnei ha'Aron. Mistake number three was, they carried it. How did they carry it? First of all, the fact that Uzzah and Achiyoy, the sons of Avinadav, were the ones who were carrying it. And who was it supposed to be carried by, like you said before? Was supposed to be the Levim. The Levim were supposed to be the ones who were carrying it. They were the ones who were carrying it in the Midbar. And it should go the same way, right now. Now, how did the Levim carry it? They had these poles, right? This is what you were asking before. How are you supposed to carry it by your shoulders? They had these poles. Each pole was fixed on the side of the Aron. On the side. A special ring that was attached to the Aron on the side, ring on one side, ring on the other side. They put this pole through both rings. Same thing on the other side of the Arid. And you have these two poles sticking out from each side, one, two. And the Levim would come, pick up the poles, and that's how they would carry the Arid.
They had to pick it up with their hands, though, to put it on.
Right, they would pick it up with their hands, but they would carry it
on their
shoulder.
Unless they bent over it and would go like this. Without using your
hands. Well, still.
Possible.
Even when you're carrying it on your shoulder, you need your hands to keep it there. It's just not going to stay there.
Well, I figured that.
Right.
Right.
So you're having, you bend down, hold on to it, put it on your shoulder, and that's how you pick it up. Right? Just like that. That's the way it was done in the Midbar, by the Levim. And over here, what do? They did not use any poles. They carried it like you carry a box. Right? You pick up the box from the bottom and lift it. That was another mistake that they made. You're not supposed to touch the Arid. The Arid is not supposed to be touched at all. Only by the poles. Another mistake we see in this pasuk is V'achya yuhoylech lifnei ha'arayin. Achya is walking in front of the Arid. The Plishtim made sure to walk behind the Arid. If you walk in front of something, it seems like you're more important than the object behind you. You want the Arid to be in the front, leading the way. So that's the most important part. So far we got five mistakes. With David v'chol beis Yisrael, David and all the Jews, mesachakim lifnei Hashem, v'chol atzi bereishim. They're dancing. They're dancing, they're playing. It sounds like from the commentators that there was some element of Kalos Reish, of being lightheaded. It wasn't the seriousness that they required of transferring the Arid. Transferring the Arid is a very happy occasion. However, it should be some level of seriousness. And that seemed to be missing in this affair. What else were they doing? They had violins and harps. They had drums, and menanim are these some kind of percussion instrument that helps you dance. Tzeltzelim are
symbols.
Yes. They come to a place called Garin Nachoin. Veishlach Uza el Aron Elkim veyachas b'kisham tayabakar. Uza sees that the Arid is about to fall over because the oxen made some kind of turn. It was sliding off. So he went ahead and he tried to grab onto the Arid itself to stop it from falling. And that was another grave mistake. What happens? Zeichar af Hashem be'uza v'yakehu sham ha'elikim al ha'shal v'yomes sham imarin ha'elikim. Hashem is very upset with Uza. And he kills him right there on the spot. It says, Al-Ashal. Shal means that he forgot. Al-Shashal v'shochach kedushas Hashem. He forgot the holiness of the Arid. And he did not fear Hashem when he was trying to protect the Arid. That's considered to be a very serious and severe avera. The fact that you don't fear Hashem while you're right in front of him. You don't fear the king when you're in front of him. You're standing right there, and you're showing that you don't fear him. That was the big mistake of Uzzah, and that's why he was killed right there on the spot. So just one more mistake that we missed was... Oh yeah, we spoke this out. They were too joyous, too lightheaded. And another mistake was that they didn't use the clay shear, the special musical instruments that were used by the Levim in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what should have been used while they were transferring the Arid. However, they just used whatever was handy. Whatever everyone had in their home. Whatever band they hired.
The clarinet.
Yeah. It was a klezmer.
Banjo.
Yeah. Right. It was a traditional klezmer. That was a big mistake they made. Now, why did David make all these mistakes? David was Melech Yisrael. He was the king over the Jewish people. And he made a mistake that Chazal say that even tinukah shel beis rabban, even young children who learn in kindergarten know this. Why did David make such a grave mistake? He was a king. He was obviously very knowledgeable, very, very well aware of what was supposed to be done. So the Mefarshim explains that two things. First of all, because David called the Torah, he called them Zmirais. He says, Zmirais hayuli chukecha. He says that the rules of Hashem, the rules of the Torah, are Zmirais, are songs. It's very nice, it seems like a compliment, but on some level it shows a lack of seriousness, a lack of understanding of what the Torah is really about. And that the fact that he has some kind of lightheaded towards the Torah,
it makes you giddy.
Yes. Yeah, it makes you happy, it makes you giddy.
It's a difference of being happy and being giddy. Giddy's too much. You start getting into it, and what's important is you're jumping around and not why you're jumping or why you're happy.
Right, right. Good point. That's a good point. So because David called the Torah Zmirais, that's why Hashem made him make a mistake over here as well. When he was bringing the Aron, inside the Aron was the Luchos HaBris, the tablets that we got from Har Sinai. So the same mistake that he made by calling the Torah as Mirah, he's calling them songs, he made another mistake by treating the Aron with a light head. Lack of seriousness. And that's why he made all these mistakes, which ended up with the death of Uzzah. Yeah.
Was Uzzah was he a tzaddik or something? Or?
He was a tzaddik. He was, but he made a mistake. Yeah. It was a mistake that was that serious that it resulted in his death. Yeah. One more thing. Okay. Alright, so let's see next. Vayichal David al Asher Parat Hashem Peretz Be'uzah. David was very upset, not at Hashem, rather he was upset at himself, that he did not pay attention to the way it was supposed to be done, and unfortunately that led to the consequence of Uzzah dying. That place was called Peretz Uzzah until today. Peretz means like a burst of anger of Hashem, and it's called after Uzzah who ended up dying. So that place was called Peretz Uzzah until today. David realized then that he has to fear Hashem. He needs that seriousness, that element of seriousness. He said, the status where I am right now, I cannot have Aron Hashem come to Yerushalayim. Maybe a little bit later, but now it's time to put Aron Hashem in a different place. David did not want to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, to Ir David. Remember last week you mentioned why it was called Ir David? Because he was the one who captured it, he was the one who captured that citadel. That's why it was called Ir David, the city of David. He brought the Aron to the house of Oved Edom Hagiti. Now, it sounds like Oved was not Jewish, he was an Edomi, but commentators say that in fact he was a very righteous man, he was a Jew, he was a very righteous man. And not only was he righteous, but he happened to be a Kohen. So now Hashem has to change the image of the Aron. Until now, it seems like the Aron is, on some level, it's like a curse. It causes people to die. Yeah, it brings negativity. It brings
to the people.
Right, right. But now we're going to see that it's quite the opposite. Vayeshev Aron Hashem based over the Edom Hagiti Shloish Chadashim. It sat in the house of Oved for 3 months. Hashem blessed the house of Edom and all the people in his household Who is that referring to? It's referring to all his daughters, all his daughters-in-law. Each one of them gave birth to six kids at one time. The same way the Jews gave birth to six kids in Egypt. How do we know that? It says in the Pasuk, Vayishrutzu, Vayirbu, Vayasmu, B'moid, M'oid. The Pasuk uses six different expressions to show how the Jewish people were multiplying in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. And apparently the same bracha that the Jews had in Egypt is now dwelling in the house of Ovid. So again, this is Hashem trying to change the image, right? The Aron is now suffering from bad PR, from bad public relations. So you want to make sure that the Aron has a good image in the eyes of the people, that it brings bracha, brings blessing to the household of the person who's holding it.
When you respect it,
yeah,
it does good.
Right. When you treat it the right way. Exactly. Exactly. It's all about the way you respect people. Right? Ve'yigod the Melech David Lemar, Beruch Hashem es beis Oved Edom ves kol asher loy, bavur Aron Elokim. It was told to David the Melech that Hashem blessed the house of Oved because he had the Aron in his house. Now we decided it was the time to bring the Aron up. Obviously, the Aron is now bringing up positivities, bringing bracha. So now it's time to bring it to Yerushalayim. So he brings it up with happiness. Now the way they brought it this time was every six steps they took in this journey, they brought korbanos, tzayin and meri. They brought cows and sheep. Why did they stop every six steps? So the Malbim explains that Uzzah, when he went ahead to run and try to catch the Aron before it fell, he ran six steps. And in order to repent for that mistake that Uzzah made, now every time they went six steps, they brought korbanos, they brought sacrifices to repent for that sin. V'David macharka b'chol oiz yifnei Hashem, v'David chogor eifid bad. David is dancing with all his might in front of Hashem. He's putting everything he's got into it, and he's wearing this coat. He's not wearing the bigdei malchus. He's not wearing his usual royalty garment. Rather, he's wearing the ephod bad, the clothes that the kohanim usually wear. He's trying to show that I'm not important. I might be a king, but I'm not going to wear my royalty garment because I'm not as important as the Aron. The Aron is much more important. That was the mistake they made last time when they walked in front of the Aron. Now they're making sure to give the Aron the utmost respect, the utmost kavod. And that's why David is not wearing his usual clothes. So David b'chol beis Yisrael ma'alim asaron Hashem b'truah b'kol shefer. They're bringing the Aron Hashem in its journey with shofar and with song. V'ya Aron Hashem ba Yir David. Once the Aron got to the city of David, to Yerushalayim, Michal bas Shaul, Michal the daughter of Shaul. Remember, Michal was the one that David wanted to. He married her.
That's his first wife.
That was his first wife. He married her. She was the daughter of Shaul.
Right.
He married her. Because Shaul promised him he would marry Michal if he defeated Goliath. However, for many years she was living with Palti bin Laish, and we saw over the past few weeks how Palti bin Laish was not intimate with her, even though they lived in the same house for many years. And later on, when David asked Ishbosheth to bring her to him, Palti and Michal were crying because of the mitzvah that left them. So eventually, Michal was married to David. Now they're married. So what's happening right here? Michal is watching out the window how David is dancing with all his might in front of the Aron. Michal was shown nishkufa ba'ad ha'chalin. She's watching from the window. V'tere es ha'melech David mefazez u'mecharker lifnei Hashem v'tivez loy b'liba. She watches how David is dancing like a simpleton, like a peasant, like a simple man. Right, without that stamina of a king. And she inside, deep down, she disrespected him for what he was doing. It didn't seem like the actions of a king, and that's why, because the way that things were done in her father's household, in her father's palace, was to show the glory of the king. The king should be, you know, he's the head of the people, he should be respected, he should be glorified. And David now is doing exactly the opposite. He's dancing like just commoner. all the other people, like a commoner, like a simpleton.
I mean, what is so important about what she thought? I mean, they're putting in this here for a reason.
Right, we're going to see later on what she said when David actually came home. Oh. She didn't only keep it in her heart. The pasuk first says what she thought when she first saw him.
Then,
and we're going to see later on what she...
She gives him what for.
Right. Right. And she's actually going to be punished for this. We're going to see what happens. Vayavius Aron Hashem, Eitzigo Esavim Koimai. They're bringing the Aron to its right place. They set it up. B'teich Oel Hashanot Aloyim David. They set it up in a tent. Why? David wants to show that this is not the final destination of the Aron. The Aron, the final destination of the Aron is?
The
Beis HaMikdash. Exactly. So David is trying to show he's hoping to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Later on, Hashem will tell him, no, you're not going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash because you have too much blood on your hands. You were the one to fight the Plishtim. You'll be your son. Shlomo, Solomon, King Solomon, he'll be the one that will have peace in his time. Unlike Neville Chamberlain, who thought it was peace in his time. But in the days of Shlomo, it will really be peace in his time. And he will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. David is now paving the way. He's showing all the enemies of the Jewish people that they should be fearful. They should fear the kingdom of the Jewish people. But it's not going to be him because he had too much blood on his hands. But right now, David is trying to show that this is not the final destination of the Aron, and that's why he sets it up only in a tent and not a real house.
Where's the Mishkan at this time?
So the Mishkan was only really in the Midbar. They didn't have a Mishkan.
It got destroyed, or they dismantled it, or...
Yeah, they dismantled it. And that was another mistake that David made. He thought that it was only in the times of the Mishkan that we have to show such kavod to the Aron. But now that the Mishkan is not there anymore, we don't have to be as careful.
Well, when you're saying he's showing by putting it in a tent is not a permanent place. He's showing this
I'm
is
learning
not
now.
A permanent place for the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
You put it in a thing that you know it's not going to
right. It's not going to stay there.
There.
Right.
Richard, exactly. I'll see you.
Exactly. David Oilos of Hashem with Shlamim. At this point, David brings Karbonos, brings Oilos and Shlamim, brings different sacrifices. David David finishes the whole ceremony. He gives a bracha to the Jewish people, and everyone is very, very happy that finally the Aron is in Yerushalayim, where it's supposed to be. He's now giving out a part of the korbanos, of the sacrifices that he's bringing. He gives every man a chalas lechem achas, one loaf of bread. Eshpar echad, eshpar means 1/6 of a cow. That's a pretty big piece of meat, I would say. Everyone can go home and make a nice big barbecue with that. So he gives that. He gives everyone a piece of meat and a loaf of bread. Everyone goes home to begin their barbecue. David goes home now to bless his own house. But Michal Bashol Likras David. Michal comes out. She greets him as he walks in.
She
she, in a very sarcastic tone, she turns to David and she says, "What a honorable day for the king who appeared to the maidservants of his slaves as a simpleton, as a commoner, like a fool, like a peasant. The way you danced in front of the Aryan, right? This is not a way that a king should treat himself, definitely not in front of his own people. You shouldn't humiliate yourself. You want to do something in private, that's one thing. But in front of all the people, all the Jewish people, you're humiliating yourself like that? Even though it's the Aryan, but a king should have a certain stamina not to do so." Vayomer David el Michal lifnei Hashem. David turns to Michal and he says, "Lifnei Hashem asher bachar bi ma'avichom b'kol beis litzavos oisi nogid al Hashem, al Yisrael, v'sichakti lifnei Hashem." He says, "Hashem was the one to appoint me instead of you, instead of your father, instead of your father's whole family. Obviously, he did it for a reason. Why is he pointing out that Hashem was the one who appointed him?" He's telling her, you might be right if it's the people who ended up electing the king. If they were the ones to appoint the king, then yeah, the king should make sure to honor himself, to act in a dignified way in front of the people who appointed him, who elected him. However, it wasn't the people who appointed me, rather it was Hashem. Hashem was the one who appointed me, so I don't need to care about my public relations. I don't need to make sure that I'm always politically correct, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm saying the right thing. It's not about that anymore. Because I have to make sure to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who appointed me. So I don't have to worry about the people.
Did he expose himself? He was wearing this robe?
Yes, it says that
he was dancing naked.
No, he wasn't dancing naked, but as he was dancing, you know, part of his body was being revealed. You know, the sleeves come down, and you know, when you're dancing,
you get into a frenzy.
Frenzy, yes.
Yeah, the more you start getting into it, now he's getting to a frenzy because of Hashem, not because he's getting very happy. They get drunk, they start going and they get into their friends, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
He did it because he realized Hashem made it this way, and this is the way he's showing Hashem that he thanks him, you know.
Right.
I can
exactly
understand that there. But she said to him, "You look like that." He says, "I don't care what I look like to you. I'm doubling like that. I'm doubling like you see somebody doubling and shaking and everything else. Hey, never mind what he's thinking about. Never mind what he looks like to you.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. That's what he's telling you."
Yes, exactly. It was really a difference of approach between the household of Shaul, Michal's father, and the way of David. Then Michal is telling him, in my house, it was considered to be rude for the king, or unhonorable for the king to reveal any part of his body, except for his face, obviously, and his hands. But to reveal any part of his body was a very unhonorable thing to do. You go ahead and you're dancing like that, and you know you're revealing your arms and your legs. It's not fit for a king. So again, it was the difference between the approach of Shaul, the way Shaul used to conduct himself, and the way David conducted himself. But David is pointing out to her that I don't care about the people, I care about Hashem. That's how he ends up. That's how he ends off. I'm dancing in front of Hashem. That's the only thing that really matters. I don't mind to even humiliate myself in my own eyes. I should make sure to honor myself in front of these maidservants? Is that what I care about? Do I care about what other people think about me? That's not the point. So that's how David answers her. And the Malbim points out also that the real honor is when you go ahead and honor Hashem, even though it seems like you're humiliating yourself in front of the people. People realize, they respect that. They realize that you're trying to honor Hashem. You're dancing in front of Hashem. So there's no point. It doesn't matter that you're dancing in such a way, in such a fashion. It's nothing to be worried about. That's the real honor. When people see that you don't care about what they think, that's a much more deeper way of honoring someone. We see that many times when a person always cares about what other people will say, other people will think. What ends up happening? They ended up not respecting that person. They ended up not holding him in high esteem because he's the one who has no self-respect. He doesn't care about himself. He cares about what all other people would think about him or say about him.
That's all well and good, but we also have a thing. You have to watch yourself. You don't make a chilul Hashem.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
It's a small point, the difference of what he was doing. What might have been a chilul Hashem in her eyes because he was doing that there.
Mm-hmm.
You always cannot say you don't care what the other guy says.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to say. If
right.
it's going to cause a chilul Hashem, that's not right either.
Right, of course. You have to have the right balance.
You have to care how you handle yourself 100%. With other people.
100%. But you shouldn't conduct everything you do according to what other people
right.
say or think about me.
Right.
Oh no, I can't do this because oh no, they're going to think that I'm crazy. Or gonna. If that's the right thing to do, then you should do it. That's what W is telling you. This is the right thing to do. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. It's the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it no matter what. That's why I'm doing it. I'm doing it something because it's the right thing to do, not because it's popular. So, what happened to Michal? How was she punished? Yeah. The Pasuk Chaf Gimel ends off. It says, "U'michal bashol lo'hayo lo v'lad lo'hayo lo yelad ad yoyim meisa." She was punished by not having any children until the day she died. What's the problem with that? The problem is that we've seen in previous prakim that Michal did have children. In fact, she did have kids. Right? The Pasuk lists one of the kids of Michal. So how could the Pasuk say that she didn't have any kids until the day she died?
Maybe from that point on, she didn't
right.
have any
Very
kids.
Good. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara, one teretz is, like you said, that from that point on, she did not have any more kids until she died. That's one teretz. But before this incident, she actually did have kids. Another teretz the Gemara gives is that she did not have kids until the day she died. However, on the day she died, she did have kids. So, meaning she died in childbirth. She died while she was giving birth to her son. That's when
she only had one.
Right, so she only had one kid. According to that Torah, she only gave birth once. Okay, we'll stop here. And next week we're going to see how David tries to build the Beis HaMikdash.
It goes to show also that you have to, before you can, I want to say, think that somebody else is doing something wrong, make sure.
Right.
Okay. Make sure.